You're listening to 1240 WGBB.
From the heart of the nautical mile, you're listening to the station that serves your community. AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport.
Live from WGGB, Long Island's oldest radio station, 1240 AM on your dial. It's time for
Listen Up. Jesus is on the air.
Of sweet Jesus.
Here we are, Dr. Palmer.
Back from vacation.
Going again.
And it fills our soul with gladness. And it puts our heart at ease. Whether working or at leisure. Jesus wants to show the way. If we take the time to ask him, he will guide us through the day.
Well, here we are, Tony. Back in the saddle again. Back for more and more and more of Jesus on the air.
Isn't it great?
Are you able to spread the... Dr. Tony Schiffo?
Yes, and you're Dr. John Palmer,
right. And those of us who are listening to us for the first time, you're in for quite a treat. We have so much to tell you and so much to talk to you about.
And so much love of Jesus to spread. We just want you to be receptive. Just open your arms and let Jesus just spread the love that we want to spread to you.
And today, we're going to be talking about a call to holiness. Call to holiness. Now, those of you who are very active in the church, we can see your halo from here. Can't you see the halos?
Absolutely.
Two of them are tilted, though. What are we going to do?
Well, John, listen, we're all made to be saints.
Okay, we are.
And baptism.
And also, there are a lot of people who have turned their back and thrown their halos in the garbage pail. And we're after you guys. We're the ones we're after. You're the ones we're after.
And John and I are just two young kids with fire and love in our hearts, and we want to spread that love throughout Long Island, throughout the United States. And we want to evangelize and let you know that Jesus is waiting for you to come back.
He is, and we have a helper here today in Anna Bashuska. Did I say it right?
You did. Excellent.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, Anna, because you're going to help us get all those people to put their halos back on their head.
Okay.
And we want at least one conversion today, Anna, and we're going to leave it up to you and Jesus.
Well, that's good, because that's been my prayer. Lord, if we can even touch one soul today, thank you, Jesus.
Wow.
Thank you, Jesus.
That's our mission statement.
Now, you are very active in the Charismatic Conference at Scranton and in the Magnificat.
Yes, John.
You want to tell us a little bit about that? Because the listeners may not know what we're talking about. Sure. They never do anyway.
Sure. Okay. I started to become very active in the Charismatic Renewal, I guess it was about 25 years ago, and I didn't realize it was a Charismatic Renewal at the time. I just knew that something really weird was going on in my life, and I started hearing interiorly very sweet voices of love and gentleness and calmness and wisdom, and I came to realize that this was Our Lady speaking to me, which kind of blew me away.
Now, our listeners may get upset, she's hearing voices.
Yeah, I know. I was upset. You should be upset. I was upset, Yeah. I was very concerned. I thought I was like schizophrenic or something. Yeah. I didn't know what was going on.
Well, if it make you feel any better, I'm a psychologist, and I hear voices inside,
there you
too.
Go.
You know, that's pretty serious when a psychiatrist or psychologist hears voices.
Yeah, well, God has a sense of humor. Yeah. Tell us more about that.
Well, I think I have to preface my involvement with the Charismatic Renewal with what led me to the Charismatic Renewal. You were talking before in the beginning statement about we want to touch the people that have fallen away and have grown cold. Well, that was me. You know, I had been a very active, participating Catholic as a child, growing up in a very, Catholic family. We were immigrants from Italy, myself being one. And then, you know, as a young girl, we experienced a sudden death in the family. My godfather and uncle died suddenly. And I became very embittered with God. I couldn't understand why God took him. And I got a little bit angry. And I think that's kind of what started my falling away. Like, how could this loving God that I've known take my uncle?
And that's what happens to all of us.
Yeah, it was terrible. And then I grew lazy and cold. It was, the 60s. And, you know, I started becoming very rebellious and decided that I was just not going to go to church anymore because I wanted to sleep on Sundays. And, of course, being Sicilian and Italian, Sundays would come and my mother would scream at me to get out of the bed. I wouldn't get out of the bed. She would actually try to physically draw me by my feet out of the bed to bring me to church, you know. So the bottom line was, you know, as I started maturing, I got more and more rebellious. I got indifferent. I got angry. Other things that had happened, and I wasn't getting what I prayed for.
I love that you're saying that, because those people with their halos in the garbage pail, that's what happened to them.
Well, you know, I got disappointed with God. I got very disappointed that the things that I was praying for that I thought were really good things, he wasn't giving me what I was asking for. You know, he wasn't granting me what I was asking him for.
He's got some nerve.
He had some nerve. So yeah. I got really angry and, well, who needs you? I'm going to go out and do this on my own.
That's right.
And then, you know, I've shared this many times, you know, my Trinity was no longer Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It was like he must be too busy helping other people, or he must love them more than he loves me. But that's where I was. I was young. I was a teenager. But that was the lie. I know it today. It was a lie. It was a lie that I was believing.
I just want to keep on emphasizing, all of you out there with your halos in the garbage pail, isn't this your story?
Yeah.
Isn't this your story?
Yeah, this was a lie, but, you know, I didn't realize that Satan was feeding the lie because he put the focus on me, on what I wasn't getting. Mm-hmm. You know, the prayer that I wanted answered, the mm-hmm. thing that I wanted. It was, you know, me, I. Jesus was no longer in the picture anymore. It was all about Anna, mm-hmm. what Anna wanted. Mm-hmm. And this must be good because it's what Anna wanted. And Anna wasn't getting it, so God must be bad, you know.
But he was in the picture.
He was believing the lie. I got sucked in. I got sucked in.
How did he get you back?
A tragedy in my life, you know. Again, the Trinity was no longer Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It was me, myself, and I. So I became very self-sufficient or self-proficient, I thought. And then, you know, with my husband's permission, he gave me, the courtesy to share this story. I married my husband, who I didn't realize at the time was an alcoholic.
Okay, just before you go into that, I wanted to play a song for the theme for the day, because it's by Palmer Pascal, and her song is, "You couldn't mean me, you called me." Mm. I can't believe it. So listen, those of you with your halos in the garbage pail. Listen.
I love it.
Been so long, yet you seem glad to see me. I've been gone, living my own life. It's so strong. What's this thing I'm feeling? You say there's something you need me to do. Do you realize who you're talking to? You couldn't possibly mean me. Have you seen me? Have you seen the state of my heart? You couldn't possibly want me for your kingdom when my life is shaking. Is it some changes you're making?
Well, I'm John Palmer, and this is Dr. Tony Schiffo. And Anna, believe it or not, I chose that song in prayer before I even knew you were going to tell that story. And I'm sorry I interrupted your story, but the song told the first half of your story. Now would you go on and tell us the rest? Wait till they hear.
And that song just confirmed it, because I had never heard that song before. Mm-hmm. And every day I say, Lord, I am such a mess. I'm a mess. Mm-hmm. And I know that you love me and you're not going to leave me in my mess. And when you told me the theme of this talk was a call to holiness, I did laugh out loud. I said, why are they asking me to talk about holiness? I'm a mess, you know. What happened was a tragedy brought me back into, you know, back to the Lord. I, again, in prayer, I had asked the Lord, should I marry my husband? Because even though I stopped going to Mass, you know, I still had kind of a relationship with God. I had like a thin string that was holding me there, like that picture of Our Lady Perpetual Help with a little mm-hmm. soul that's hanging from Jesus's foot. So I was kind of hanging on that thread there. And, you know, the reason I asked him that was because my husband is many years older than me and was causing havoc in my family. So I said, please, God, I love my family, but I love this man. I don't know what to do. Please tell me your will. Help me. And he made it clear to me I was to marry my husband. So, okay, we get married, and now within a very short time, I realize my husband has a serious problem. You know, he has this sickness of alcoholism, which I didn't know was a sickness. I thought that he was just a miserable human being, and here I was stuck in this marriage, and duh, you did it to me again. I asked you if I should marry him. You said yes, and now look at where I am. Look at me. What did you do? I mean, another reason why I shouldn't trust you. Really, I'm not going to ask you anything anymore. All right. Can anybody relate with that? Is there one person out there who understands what I'm talking about? Okay.
You just had ears light up all over the island.
Good, good.
We're going to get phone calls.
Yeah. Excellent. Because, you know, it was ridiculous. I prayed and this was your response. What were you thinking? Seriously, God, what were you thinking? My life was such a mess. I was emotionally, spiritually, and physically a shipwreck. I really was. And then, you know, a very dear friend recommended that I go to a 12-step program. So I was desperate. And I went thinking, okay, if these people could tell me what I can do to get him to stop drinking, I'm there. And, of course, the first meeting I go to, they tell me, no, we can't do that. This is to help you. And it's like, I don't have the freaking problem. He does. He's the one, you know, who's got this crazy disease, not me. Well, you know, in a very short period of time, you know, I came to realize that this is a family disease. Does anybody hear me? It is a family disease, and it's a sickness. It's a disease, and it affects not just the person, but the family members, the friends, and anyone who loves this person is affected. Even your pets are affected by this disease. And, you know, I just kept going because I found a group of people that listened when I spoke and I could relate to them. Mm-hmm. And there was a love in that room that I had not experienced, I don't think ever, with a group of human beings ever before. It was unconditional. And then I kept hearing about this God of your higher power, you know, this God of your higher power, the God of your understanding, and that if you really, really, really want this program to work, you have to establish a really good relationship with this higher power. So I made a decision that I was going to return to the faith of my childhood. I made a decision, it was conscientious, to go back to church. Because if this was the only way that I was going to get sanity back in my life and manageability and get help and healing for myself, this is what I was going to do. And I went to church.
Healing.
I was a mess.
Healing is a decision.
Yes, it's a decision. And I didn't realize how affected I was by this disease. I was totally affected the same way he was, mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually.
But you recognized it. Did he recognize it?
Not at that point.
No.
No, not at that point. But, because they told me in this 12-step program, and I'm going to share, it's called Al-Anon. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They shared with me that, you know, Anna, God leads you to Al-Anon, and then Al-Anon leads you back to God. This is all about your recovery, your healing, It's about you. It puts the focus back on you and what you need to be, to do to be whole and healed. And, you know, I made the decision that I needed healing. I recognized it. I thanked God for that. And I said, I'm coming back to church. But this is the deal, God.
Just the other thing, too, with couples, I see, as a psychologist, I see a lot of couples, and they always want to change the other person.
That was
and
me.
I said, no, it's you that
has
to.
Well, that's why I went, John. I went not because I didn't think I had a problem.
Sure.
I was fine. He was the miserable human being I was living with. I was terrific.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't recognize how sick I was until I went into those rooms and I started listening to the purity and the honesty and the love of the people in there living with similar circumstances and living with this disease. And I said, my goodness, that's my story. That's me. You know, how broken they were. And then once I saw how broken they were, my compassion for them was great. I started to see with God's grace how broken I was. And then I was able to get compassion for myself. Mm-hmm. I didn't have any of that, you know. Mm-hmm. I could have compassion for you, John, for you, Dr. Anthony. I could not have compassion for myself. I didn't know what that was about.
Mm-hmm.
I was so focused on everybody else that I wanted to fix. Wanted to fix him. Wanted to heal him.
Of course.
Me.
He's
what?
He's terrible.
My halo's on. It's shiny. You know, what do I need help, you know? But I made the decision to go back, and this is what I said to God. I said, listen, I'm coming back. These are the reasons why I stopped coming to church, okay? I was bored. I couldn't understand the priest. I didn't understand the homilies or the sermons. The people I was sitting next to, as soon as I got out of the parking lot, they were talking about me behind my back. I heard them. They were cutting me off in the parking lot. They were, you know, they were not really nice people. So these are some of the reasons. And I wanted to sleep late on Sunday. I got to be honest, God, okay? I really did. These are the reasons why I stopped coming. But I'm going to make you a promise. I'm coming back. I'm in, okay? I'm in.
Did you tell them to watch out?
No, I said, I promise you, I will show up. I'm going to show up every week, all right? Every week, I'm going to show up. The rest is up to you, okay? It's in your court then. I'm going to show up. The rest is up to you.
You're going
to
heal God.
No, I'm just going to show up.
Okay.
I'm going to depend on him to do everything else. You're going to explain to me the homily. You're going to make me overlook the people that I know are talking about me. They're looking at me and whispering about me right there. I mean, what's going on with that? I will get up on Sunday and come to church. I'll set the alarm. I'm promising you that. But all the rest of it, I'm going to leave up to you. I need you to help me.
And think about it. They are changing the liturgy of the Mass on coming Advent, November 27th. Was that because of you? Was that an answer to your prayer?
I know, God answers prayers in the weirdest ways sometimes,
He invoked the whole Vatican, the whole Catholic Church, and said, this is going to change.
Were you talking to Pope John?
You know what? He probably said, that little mess down there, that little Anna banana that I love so much, you know, there might be other messes out there that can relate to, what's going on. You know, maybe we need to change this.
And you know what? There are. And you know what? They're in our prayer group here. They're in our prayers and our petitions.
Thank you, Jesus.
And you're touching their lives.
I hope so. I hope so.
And I praise Jesus for
that.
Thank
you, Jesus. Because I went for 3 years. I showed up. And then one Sunday made all the difference in the world. And
what
I
happened?
Have to share it with you because it's an amazing thing. This one Sunday, it was in the fall. My husband was home watching the football game because at that point, he had found recovery himself. He still was not a practicing Catholic. But, my focus wasn't on him anymore. My focus was on me and the Lord and what I needed to do to fix my own life with the help of the Lord. Now this was about Jesus and me. It became very personal, very, very personal, very
wonderful.
Intimate. But I showed up. I showed up. And this one Sunday, Bob was home watching the football game. And as I was sitting in the pew, I saw this little white envelope, and it was stuffed with things, And it got my curiosity up, and I picked it up, and it said Legion of Mary on there. And, you know, I looked inside, and there were all kinds of goodies in there. There was all kinds of little plastic bags with little, what I thought were like little gifts and tchotchkes. There was all colorful pamphlets. I didn't know what it was, but all I knew was that, you know, it was the Legion of Mary, and my mother, God bless her, my mother's name is Mary, not just my eternal mother, my earthly mother. And my mother has been praying the rosary since she was born, I think. And she always prayed three rosaries, whole rosaries, you know. And I used to say, oh, my goodness, the thought of praying a rosary, 50 Hail Marys, used to make me gag. You know, who can do that? 50 Hail Marys, it got to be nuts. But anyway, and the thought just came into my mind, you know, I don't have a relationship with the Blessed Mother. I really don't know much about her. And then I started talking to her, and I said, you know, Mary, I really don't know you so good. My mother, on the other hand, she knows you pretty good. She's been praying to you, you know, 150 Hail Marys a day forever. You know, I think I'd like to get to know you. I said, and you know what? I promise, I'm going to go home, and I'm going to read everything in this little envelope here. Bob's watching the football game anyway, and I'm not doing anything else, so I'm just going to read everything in here. And I love, you know, when you go on an airplane and they used to feed you, ha-ha, they don't do that anymore. Uh-huh. I'm one of the weird people that love to go on airplane trips because I loved the airline food. Is there anybody else who loves airline food? I don't know. Probably very few. But what I really loved about it, I loved the little packages that everything came in. I loved where you got to open the little package with the forks and the spoons. I loved the little package with the salt and the pepper. I loved all the little bags, you know. And this envelope was filled with little bags. That was, you know, like little children. And they know. Our mother knows. Jesus knows. The Father knows. The Holy Spirit knows how to woo you. How to call you, how to hook you in. And for me, it was those little bags in that envelope. It's true. It's a true story. So I kept my word. I went home.
You're not going to leave us hanging.
He was watching the football game. I started reading. There was little rosaries in there. There was a little scapula, which I still have and I wear, and I wear it all the time. There was a little booklet called True Devotion to Mary from St. Louis Marie de Montfort. There was a consecration to Mary. There was the memorare. There was all kinds of beautiful, beautiful, beautiful things about our mother. Well, I promised I was going to read everything, and I did. And by the time I was done reading everything, I fell in love with Mary. I fell in love with Mary. Mm-hmm. You know, she had me, and I
How
started.
How could you not?
Really, you know? And I laughed, and I said, isn't that funny, Mother Mary? You hooked me with those little bags.
She knows,
me.
Though. She knows how to get to you.
Bear.
It took 3 years, you know, and I always think about the, you know, the 3 days in the tomb, you know, when Jesus died and he was put in the tomb for the three days. It took 3 years of going and keeping my promise every Sunday to show up. And then God did what he said he was going to do. And look at who he did it with. His mother. That's a big gun.
Yes,
that's right. That's right.
And did Mary say, did you ever meet my son?
My mother Mary's entire ministry to me personally was to pick me up like the broken little child that I was with all my pains and hurts and disappointments, the lies that I was believing all my life. She picked me up and she brought me to her son Jesus, literally, and she put me on his lap.
Absolutely.
She put me on his lap, and she still continues to do that every day because I'm a mess and I need that. I need to be lifted every day as that little child and to go on Jesus' lap.
Now, that's Mary's and your part of journey with Mary, but we're going to stop for a little bit because we have a saint of the day. But we want to come back to your journey with the Holy Spirit.
Your story is phenomenal.
Everyone relates to that.
And I'm
even
telling
Trevor
you,
was laughing.
Well, it's not only laughing, but I'm telling you, you are touching people's lives with this story. They're in this petitions here.
They're in
You're
the
touching them.
Yep.
So let's get on with
How about your saint of the day?
Guess you know, who it is, Dr. Palmer?
I'm not. I already know.
Oh, okay. So tell us.
No, you tell
us. Okay, it's St. Veronica. And the reason why I chose St. Veronica, and it was a last-minute decision, was yesterday, by the way.
Yeah.
Because I just happened to be thumbing through the saints, and I happened to read the story, and I happened to tie it in with Sunday's readings, which I always like to do if I can. And I immediately tied it in with Sunday's first reading when Solomon was king, and his constant prayer to our Heavenly Father was, he didn't ask for riches, he didn't ask for wisdom, he just asked to be able to take care of his people, to be compassionate, to be loving. And Jesus so enriched Solomon because he was so humble and pure that he gave him wisdom and gave him and gave him wealth and gave him love. And so, and he was just simply compassion. So Veronica comes into the picture when Jesus was being his passion, when he was walking with the cross. And she happened to be there at his trial. And she felt sorry for him, but at that time, she, like everybody else, didn't want to step forward, like the apostles, didn't want to come out. But seeing him walking with the cross on his back and blood pouring down his face and sweat pouring down his face and being spat at and stuff like that, and he fell. And she says, probably said, enough is enough. And she walked out of the line, and she went over to him and wiped his face with her veil as a sign of compassion and love and pity. And she didn't care what the soldiers were going to do to her. She said she was, or felt that she was going to stand up for what was right and show pity on Jesus. And she did, and she wiped his face, and it so impounded the world that this act was instituted with the sixth station of the cross. Veronica wiped Jesus' face, and it's there for everyone to see.
It's just like the compassion and love that Anna was talking about.
Absolutely.
That she felt from the Blessed Mother.
Yes. And when she went home, she lifted up the veil, she saw the impression of Jesus' face on that veil. And that was so powerful and so dynamic. And it just so happened that that veil was an instrument of healing. It was used to heal people, and it was used, and it was tested, and actually she left it in the hands of Pope Clement I, and gave it to him. But it was an enduring story, and history herself, as well as the veil, is part of a legend, but it's real, because the veil is still around, and it's sacred.
You know, the veil is like a symbol.
It's a
when in love, you reach out to Jesus during his passion and you have pity for him and you cry for him. He comes back and leaves a lasting image of himself on you.
Absolutely. You know? And her act of compassion, her act of love and pity for another human being or another person was rewarded by Jesus, by giving her an everlasting image of his face.
If I can, when you said that Saint Veronica was the saint of the day, and you know, we're talking about a call to holiness, I said, wow, thank you, Jesus. Because, you know, thinking about her story, Veronica took the focus off of herself. She took the focus off of her own fear, her own disappointments in her life. Whatever was going on with her wasn't important anymore. She put the focus on Jesus 100%, and she went in compassion and love to do what she did. And Jesus rewarded her with that gift. And I think that's so critical that, you know, just speaking personally, that, you know, whenever I'm going through something and I am so, you know, focused on the problem and on the solution to the problem, I've taken my focus off of Jesus, and I need to redirect.
Absolutely.
And you know, holiness is doing just that. Focusing on Jesus, focusing on his sacred heart. Trevor, can we put the next song right on?
I just want to close before you do.
Hold on, Trevor, 1/2 second.
Just preface this, that Veronica showed that she put compassion for others.
That's right.
Ahead of her own safety.
That's right.
And maybe that's what we need to do.
We need to fall in love. Fall in love.
Dr. Palmer, it's yours.
Fall in love. It's Don Moen, Mi Corazón.
My heart is filled with songs of praise. You gave me hope. Now I long to live in your presence for all of my days. My soul sings, my spirit shouts, with every breath I'm crying out, I want to live for you. Lord, I give you my whole heart, mi corazón. Amazing grace has rescued me. You set me free. I will sing your praises forever, my Savior and King. My soul sings, my spirit shouts, with every breath I'm crying out, I want to live for you alone. You have captured my heart, mi corazón. Lord, I give you my whole heart, mi corazón. My whole heart, mi corazón. corazón.
Hi, listeners, I'm John Palmer, and this is Tony Schifo, and Anna Bashuska is giving us a real history of being called to holiness.
It's powerful.
From being way out in left field, coming back through Al-Anon, through the Blessed Mother, and we haven't finished the story. The last piece is the Holy Spirit.
Maybe. Well, you can finish it now. I mean, that song was so beautiful. That's it. That's the whole story right there. He captured my heart. I'm done. Yeah. I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm in for the long haul, no matter what.
And
you're one of us.
But
yes.
I really want you to talk
Holy
about...
Holy Spirit. So, this is what happened.
Okay.
Our Lady started to teach me how to pray.
See how hard it is to get words out of
you. Now, I got to tell you, I knew nothing about Medjugorje, but from the time I was a kid, you know, being born in 55, I loved the story of Our Lady's apparition at, you know, to Bernadette. And I used to cry and say, why couldn't you appear now during my lifetime? I would love to have you appear during my lifetime, you know. And then, you know, I found out about Medjugorje. Talk about your heart's desires. You know what? Whatever your heart's desire is, just wait and see what God's going to do with it. You may not get it when you're asking for it, but if it's a pure intention, you will receive it.
You know, I'm really pushing you to talk about Scranton because it's coming up in 2 weeks, and there may be some people out there with their halos in the garbage pail who might want to go to Scranton to the Charismatic Conference.
Okay.
And just let me mention, Dr. Palmer's going also, aren't you?
Yes.
Yes.
So those followers of Dr. Palmer, and he's got a large following.
All right.
Get
Listen,
on the bus.
I only got one bus, okay, guys? So don't get crazy here. I only got one bus, and there's only maybe about 7 seats left, okay?
Tell us what happened.
All right. So what ended up happening through the tutoring of Our Lady and listening to her and believing her and following her, a lot of amazing things started to happen, weird things that I couldn't explain because they were not humanly possible. And I did think that, you know, I'm not going to tell anybody about these things that are going on because they're going to think I'm out of my mind, you know? But supernatural things started to happen. Let me just say that. One in particular is just that when my husband was in a rehab, you know, back in 1980, I saw what I called a prayer, and it was the footprints prayer. And it was the first time I had ever seen it in my life in 1980. You know, maybe it wasn't so popular, but it was the first time I saw it. It was at the rehab. And this was at the beginning of my conversion back to the Lord. And I remember feeling so much peace with it and the beginning of love and trust again in God. Because when I got to the point, you know, that prayer where the man decides to give God his life, Jesus his life, and he says, I don't understand, you know, why is it during the most difficult times of my life, you said if I give you my life, you'd be with me all the time. And I see the two sets of footprints, but when it was the worst possible time of my life, I only saw one set of, you know, footprints. What gives? What happened? What happened? Where were you when I needed you the most? And Jesus said to him, my precious child, when you needed me the most, that was when I picked you up and carried you. And I knew that I knew that I knew he was talking to me. Is he talking to you right now? Did you ever feel that way? Where were you when I needed you the most? He picked you up. He was carrying you. You were never alone. Never. So that was very empowering to me. And, you know, several months later, I was in my office and a very, you know, I thought he was in the rehab. Things were going to get much better. Things were worse when he came out. Things were worse. It was not what I expected. And I was a really big mess. And I didn't know what to do. And I remember just being in my office and crying in my office and saying, God, I don't know what to do. What am I going to do? I can't live this way. And I remembered footprints. And I said, oh, if I could only get that footprints prayer again, you know, I know I'll be okay. Because I remember how much peace and trust and faith I had with that prayer. I got to get it. So I made a decision that I was going to call them up, the rehab upstate, at lunchtime. And I was going to ask them to make a copy and send it to me. And I was going to give them a $300 donation. You know, just send it to me. I have to have it. And lunchtime came. I couldn't wait to make the call. And the lady that worked with me came in and said, Anna, I know you don't want to take any calls, that you have something you got to do. But there's a lady out here who wants to see you, who's retiring. And this is her last time to say goodbye to you. Could you just see her for a few minutes? The last thing I wanted to do was to meet with this lady. She was a lovely lady, but she talked a lot. And I said, there's no way I'm going to be able to talk with her and then still make my call. I got to make my call, you know. But I knew that I had to see her. You know, it was her last day there. So I invited her in, and lovely woman, retiring, lived in Staten Island. And, you know, beautiful lady, she's telling me how, you know, she's going to miss being in Rockefeller Center. And she told me all the things she was doing during the week. And I keep looking at my watch saying, oh, God, please let her finish now. And she kept going on and on. And then she said to me, and you know, Anna, last night I went to St. Patrick's Cathedral. Did you know that they have a gift shop in St. Patrick's Cathedral? And I said, no, I didn't know that, you know, and I'm looking at my watch. And she goes, well, I went down to the gift shop, Anna, she said, and I saw something, and it reminded me of you, and I had to buy it for you. And I said, oh, my God, she's not. She went into her bag, and she handed me the Footprints Prayer. I am telling you, I knew this was weird and bizarre. I said, God, you set me up.
He certainly did.
That was a holy setup. You knew what was going on in my mind. You knew what I was going to do. And you knew that this lady had already bought this for me. You knew it. You set me up.
And that's what happens to people who say yes and make a decision. I want to move towards holiness. The Spirit takes over and surprises you. Look at the surprise you got.
Amazing grace. That was the beginning. That's when I realized that God was not only for real and real, but he was living inside my head.
Yeah.
Inside my mind. Yeah. Inside my being. Inside my spirit. Inside of my soul. You don't get much more intimate than that.
And he was giving you the message that he was carrying you, and he was with you.
He was with me, that he loved me beyond my understanding, and to hang in there with me, kiddo, and see what I'm going to do.
And this is the message for everyone who has sent us petitions. We have their need, and God will take care of you. You just got to say yes. You got to make a decision. So just for you to know this, Anna, at this time in our show, we kind of pray for the healing. You see all the petitions on the table, and we just ask Jesus, come in, Lord. Thank you for this wonderful, powerful testimony, this program, this day, Lord. And we hope it's touched the hearts of every listener who has turned their back and has walked away. Come back. Come back. God will get you back here. He's calling you now. If we had an altar call, we'd be calling you up to the altar now. And Trevor would be standing there and blessing you and saying, the Holy Spirit is here. Receive the Holy Spirit, my friends. God is alive. He dwells in you. He's calling you back to holiness, saying, I don't care where you've been. I don't care how far away from me you've traveled. Come home. Come home. We call Catholics who have been hurt in some way by the church. Come home. Come home. God is alive in you saying, I understand your pain. I understand your hurt. I understand your frustration. I understand your anger. I understand you've been made a mess by the things that have happened in your life. Come on home. Come to me. If you've been away from the Catholic Church and you want to get to reconciliation, come to confession. You'll find I'm there, loving you, wanting to say, hi, where have you been? I've been looking for you everywhere. We've had guests on the program said that if God looked for him in the bottom of a cesspool, he still found him there and lifted him out of the pain. We don't care where you are, listeners. We don't care if you're Catholic, Protestant, Jewish, Muslim. We don't care. Open your heart now to the healing love, to the healing love of God's presence in you. Come, Holy Spirit, touch every listener. We pray for so many that have different diseases. Liz with Chiari and Marita who had surgery on her lung. and Teresa, who was healed. We just pray for so many people, Lord. And you know what they need. He found Anna in her rebellion and brought her back. Found Tony when he was a little boy and moved him back through his mother slowly but surely. He found me in a train wreck and got me back somehow. It's not impossible if you're out there and you've gone in a different direction, because you're going to do it on your own. Recognize that you just can't do it on your own. And please, any words or prayers that you hear, share them. Anna, Tony, praise you, Lord.
I just want to give praise and glory and thanks to Jesus for all the healings that he's done in our petitions, and for Anna's testimony today is so, so powerful.
And fun.
And has touched so many lives, I'm sure. This was truly, Anna, your appearance here today is truly a blessing.
And Anna, truly. Do you have any words or prayers?
The word I keep receiving is the word that always echoes in my heart when I don't understand what God is doing. And I say, Lord, I don't understand. I just don't understand what's going on. And the Lord says this to me. And I know that he's saying this to you right now. He said, Anna, what do you know? It's not important what you don't know. What do you know? And I had to think about it. But this is what I know. And I know this. I share it with you. I ask you to please open up your heart and receive it, because it is the truth. Don't listen to the liar and the deceiver. I'm telling you the truth. This is what God says. I said, God, I know that you love me. I know that. I know that you only want what's best for me. I know that you have a perfect plan for my life. And the Lord says, that's true. Now you must decide. Are you in or not? Are you in my plan, or are you going to go off on your own? Please, God, let my answer always be, I'm in. No matter what, I'm in. Your way, your plan, your love, because no one has ever loved me the way you love me, and no one ever will. And if I expect them to, I will be disappointed. You never disappoint. I'm in, Jesus. Please, God, let whoever is listening make the decision to say the same thing. No matter what, Jesus, I'm in.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And let me just follow up with some words that I was given. Unusual stuff.
In
just
walking with me,
listen.
Holding your hand, your gift of faith has been greatly magnified. Though I led you through the valley of death, no harm has befallen you. You walk by faith, my friend. Faith has been your shield. Trust has been your helmet. Truth has been your sword as you confronted the lie that held you in prison. My angels, cut away the tentacles that have grown from the cancer of the lie. I've freed you to walk in my sunlight, S-O-N. No illusion. This is your struggle from the world of Satan to paradise. This is not just flowery talk. This is truth. You know this is so. Each of you, has walked through your trials. You had choices. You could have decided to go elsewhere. You could have decided not to follow Jesus. You could have turned to all sorts of values of the world of man to take away your pain, to soothe the anger that you have. You could have turned to drugs or sex, alcohol, whatever, crime, anything that you could have done just to try to feel good. But no, each of you has chosen to come to be with me in the silence of your hearts. Some in prayer, some before me in adoration. You found your way to me. I gotta make a confession. I led you here. You just said yes. So now you're here. You've listened to me. You heard words from my Father. You heard words from the Son. You heard words from me. And I tell you,
when it's all boiled down to words. It says, "We love you now and forevermore."
John, we have some breaking news.
Go ahead. Monday night,
we're going to be doing a taping of our show at St. Catherine of Siena.
God help us.
And it's going to be live. It's going to be an audience. I think that we're going to have
over 50, 60 people there.
It's the first time ever. And it's going to be at St. Catherine of Siena in Franklin Square. And it's going to be in lieu of the Light of Christ prayer group.
It's making me nervous. Here, we can say anything and nobody can come after us.
This is so exciting.
Yeah, right, exciting.
This is exciting, John.
Right, be still my heart, right.
And if you love the show, send us an email. Listen up, listenup, 1240, at AOL.com. If you have petitions, send it to us. If we touched your life, if Anna touched your life, we want to know about it. Because I know she touched a lot of lives.
And if she didn't touch your life, I have a sense she's going to climb through these wires all the way out to your heart. And she's going to grab you by your heart and say, "Come on, don't you know where your true love really lies?"
Absolutely.
And that's with God. You know, if you only have love, that's all you really need. Trevor, can we put that last song on?
I just want Anna to promise.
If we only well, after the song, we got time.
Okay.
It just goes with the healing prayer.
Then tomorrow will dawn.
Great.
And the days of our years will rise on that morn. If we only have love to embrace without fears, we will kiss with our eyes, we will sleep without tears. If we only have love with our arms open wide, then the young and the old, they will stand at our side. If we only have love, love that's falling like rain, then the parched desert earth will grow. Love, we can reach those in pain, we can heal all our wounds, we can use our own names. If we only have love, we can melt all the guns and then give the new world to our daughters and sons. If we only have love, then Jerusalem stands, and then death has no shadow, there are no foreign lands. If we only have love, we will never bow down, we'll be tall as the pines, neither here.
Drink from the grave.
like to just thank Anna for her wonderful testimony. The Love Bus is leaving for Scranton on August 5th. Contact us. Listen up, 1240 a.m.
Listen up, 1240 a.m. at AOL.com. And John Palmer will be on that bus. And Anna, promise us you're coming back.
And thank you again, Trevor. We kept you moving, but thank you. And Anna, again, thanks.
Thank you.
And don't forget, Monday night, we hope to see you there.
And take your halo out of the garbage pail.
Spirit of sweet Jesus flows as a gentle breeze, and it fills our soul with gladness, and it puts our heart at ease. At leisure, Jesus wants to show the way. If we take the time to ask him, he will guide us through the day. Let's be thankful for Lord Jesus when we want to find. Thank him.